I want to turn to the 6th chapter of Luke. And I'm going to read the last 3 verses. Of the 6th chapter of Luke. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Now we closed the service last Sunday morning with song number 76. That was the conclusion of the message. I want to open the message this morning by singing the same song. I'm going to ask us to all stand now and sing number 76.
First I started to seek the Lord, I'm glad I counted the cost. I fully measured to Jesus' word, I'm glad I counted the cost.
I paid the price and obtained the prize, he saved my soul and was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies, I'm glad I counted the cost.
I laid my sorrows
at Jesus' feet, I'm glad I counted the cost. And now I pleasure so pure and sweet, I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the prize, he saved my soul and was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies, I'm glad I counted the cost. Farewell to this world of sin, I'm glad I counted the cost. And now my Jesus abides within, I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the prize, he saved my soul that was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies, I'm glad I counted the cost. Cast on Jesus my every care, I'm glad I counted the cost. And all my burdens he helps to bear, I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the prize, he saved my soul that was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies, I'm glad I counted the cost. Not belong till the Lord shall come, I'm glad I counted the cost, and bear my soul to that heavenly home. I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the prize. He saved my soul and was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies. I'm glad I counted the cost. Thank you. Well, we're not going to get very far this morning. We got about 22 minutes. I don't know, some folks might say a lot in 22 minutes, but seem like I can't do that. But this matter of counting the cost and paying the price is of untold importance. And the song says, when first I started to seek the Lord. Now that's the time to do it, folks. That's the time to count the cost. And that's the time to pay the price. Jesus taught us this in the 14th chapter of Luke, verses 28 through 33, covers the whole ground. We discussed that last Sunday, but that's the main drive of that lesson there. He says, who, intending to build a tower, doth not sit down first and count the cost, whether he be able to finish it, lest after he began to build and wasn't able to finish, he has to abandon the project. The passers-by began to mock and say, here's a man that started to build and wasn't able to finish. Now, those kind of experiences don't do any good for the gospel of Christ. People who start and don't go through, they're not any encouragement to other people to start. And sometimes people that fail, we've had great confidence in them, we're inclined to say, well, if they can't make it, how can I hope to make it? That doesn't help the cause of Christ any. We need folks, Christ needs folks that'll go through. They'll count the cost and pay the price at the very start. And it'll go through for him. I was in Florida visiting my brother in 1927. I graduated from high school that year, and he gave me an all-expense trip to his place in Florida and back from where we were living in Oklahoma at that time for a graduation present. And we went for a drive one day down to Sarasota. He lived at Bradenton. And off the mainland there is an island that runs that full length from Bradenton down to Sarasota. And down at the Sarasota end of it, there was where a building had been started, and it was up pretty good. It was, my brother told me about that building, and it's just a pile of rubble out there now, and building material scattered around, and nothing going on there. But he said John Ringling, who was the head of the Ringling Brothers Circus, they headquarter at Sarasota in the winter, and he said he started a $1 million hotel. $1 million was a lot of money back in 1927. But he started a $1 million hotel out there. Big land boom going on in Florida. And a lot of turmoil. And people stumbling over one another nearly to buy Florida land. And some of them, quite a few of them, buying it sight unseen. Because it was in Florida. Then they'd go down there and looking for the land and find it out in the middle of a swamp. They'd have to go to work and drain the swamp to even get to it. A lot of those kind of things going on, a big boom in Florida. So John Ringling was up in New York City. And he was in contact with some of the big wigs up there that were promoting this boom in Florida. And he learned that that boom was going to bust. Them fellows manipulate all that according to their own advantage. And it had gone far enough. It was going to bust. And he fired a telegram to his superintendent of construction on that hotel job. Says, stop everything. Well, there it stopped. And all the building material was scattered around there, just a pile of rubble. Now that didn't look very nice. But that's just kind of a sample of a lot of lives. They just go about so far and stop everything. And everything they intended to do and everything they testified to and all this is just left lying there. Now that doesn't help the cause of Christ any. And Jesus wants you and me to earnestly count the cost and pay the price. And this song says, I've paid the price and obtained the prize. You will. When you pay the price, you'll obtain the prize. I'm kind of adopting as a little slogan what I mentioned to you two or three times in my message last Sunday morning. That is that salvation is the most expensive thing in this world and well worth it. Whatever it costs you, it's well worth it for what you get. The kingdom of heaven and all the benefits of it. The song goes on to say, I fully measured to Jesus' word. That's what's involved in counting the cost. Is going right through according to Jesus' word. I laid my sorrows at Jesus' feet. Now, does that mean anything to you? Is that worth anything to you? Well, but what about the cost? Is it worth the cost to just be able to lay all your sorrows at Jesus' feet? And then he said, I now have pleasures so pure and sweet. The prophet Isaiah spoke about salvation as a trading of beauty for ashes. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. My father used to say it is just like turning your pockets wrong side out and emptying out and brushing out all the old tobacco crumbs out of there and filling it up with gold. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Is it worth it? Does that mean anything to you? Does that have any value? And he said, I've bid farewell to the world of sin. That sure means something to me. When I look out on a world of sin, steeped in sin, and see the sorrow and the heartache and the debauchery and the vice and immorality and the trouble and heartache that it's brought upon its people, I'm more and more glad at every look that there's a way that's free from sin. And that the Lord has helped me to find it and enter into it by His grace. The most expensive thing there is on earth, and well worth it for what you get. I bid farewell to this world of sin, and now my Jesus abides within. Does that ring a bell? Does that help you? What's it worth to you to have Jesus abiding within? To have Him to be the Lord of your life. Some people are willing to accept Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. It means a great deal for Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. That means that He's going to have His say about our lives. Now my Jesus abides within. I'm glad. I counted the cost. I cast on Jesus my every care, and all my burdens He helps to bear. Is that worth anything to you? Is it worth what you give for it? Somebody over here says, well worth the price. One of our songs says, when thy soul the perfect price hath paid, God will send the holy fire. You're going to get something. You're going to get what you pay for. There's no cheap John religion. That is, on God's counter. He's not running any bargain counters. But let me say that though this is the most expensive thing there is in this world, the poorest man on earth can get it. Here's one place that riches don't hold any advantage. The poor may have it equally with the rich, though it's the most expensive thing on earth. It doesn't cost a red cent in worldly goods. In money, it just costs you giving up yourself and yielding your life into God's hands for God to be the Lord of your life. He says, my son, give me thine heart. He didn't say, give me $1 million and you can have salvation. He didn't say, do this or do that and I'll save you. He just said, give me your heart. That's what He wants. That's where the rub comes. I heard about an Indian. He was wanting to find the Lord. And they told him, kind of explained to him the conditions of salvation. And the giving up to the Lord, putting things on the altar for God. And so he brought his horse. And horse is pretty important to an Indian. And he brought his horse and put it there on the altar, and then he laid his blanket on the horse blanket. And then he laid his blanket. That's pretty important to an Indian, too. They're outdoor people. They live outdoors, and they wrap up in their blanket when night comes. He laid that down there. He put his bow and arrow down there. Put his little teepee down there. Still he wasn't finding any peace. He was seeking peace, but he wasn't finding it. Finally, he just landed up there and said, "Here, Lord, take engine 2. And then he found peace. That's the price of salvation, just giving yourself. "My son, give me thine heart." Turning your life over to God. "'Twill not be long till the Lord shall come and bear my soul to that heavenly home. And then and not until then will you actually be able to discern the real value of salvation. What it's worth to you. And the things that you gave for it won't appear as anything then. It appears as too much to some of us folks now, but it ought to, we ought to hold a dim view of everything that pertains to this world and this life now while we're going along here. Now in my lesson that I read here, Jesus is teaching this lesson. And he said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Folks, we're not digging deep enough these days. Back then, the Jerusalem church, brand new converts were just ready to lay their lives on the altar for sacrifice or service. However it was, those apostles that got threatened, you remember, in the 4th chapter of Acts? They went to their own company, and that company was full of pretty new converts. The church was just in its infancy. Salvation hadn't been preached very long. All of them were pretty new, and no doubt there were some in the congregation. Well, I'm certain there would have been some that had just saved the day before, and maybe some that were just saved that morning. The Bible says that the Lord added daily to the church. There were being folks added every day, and so there was bound to have been some that had just saved the day before, if not that morning. But that whole company was just ready to back those apostles up and lay their lives on the altar for sacrifice or service, and they didn't have to be handled with any kid gloves or use wisdom with these folks or anything of that kind. They just laid the thing out there to them, and they was ready to take it. You know, people got something back there when they got salvation. And they did in the early days of this Reformation. People that got salvation got something. Amen. We're not digging deep enough these days. This man dig deep by just doing the words of Jesus. We need some deeper digging, and not just digging, but throwing out. It doesn't do so much good to just dig and dig. You'll have a dirt, you'll have a place filled up there with fresh, loose dirt, but you're not getting anywhere unless you throw that out of there. We need to dig deep. We need to throw some things out of our lives. You remember the text we had in the little message last Sunday says, "Perform thy work without, make it fit for thyself in the field, then build your house." When you're going to build a house, maybe an economy streak will strike you. You may want to cut corners here and there. And I can't afford this and I can't afford that. But folks, let me tell you something. The foundation's not the place to cut corners. The foundation's the most important part of your building. And that's not the place to cut any corners. You get a faulty foundation under your building, and after a while it'll begin to settle, and the windows, you can't open and close the windows, and the doors drag, and well, you'll wish the longest day you live in that house that you hadn't economized on that foundation. That's not the place to economize. This man dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock. He got down to the solid rock, Christ Jesus, down on his word, obeying his word. And the floods came. The storms beat vehemently against his house, and it fell not, for it is on a rock. This other man, he heard the same things that man did. But he didn't do it. He didn't obey it. He didn't walk in the light. He didn't meet the conditions of salvation. He didn't repent. He didn't make his wrongs right. Didn't make restitution. And he didn't measure up to God's word. But he started to build just like the other fellow without any foundation. And the rains descended and the storms beat vehemently against that house and it fell. Now the Bible says it fell immediately. Didn't have anything under it. Folks, when you lay a good foundation, when you count the cost, pay the price, measure up to God's word, settle it in your hearts. I'm going through with God, whatever that involves, what I know and what I don't know, the unknown bundle, as some folks call it. You put that in too. And then you start out on that basis with a definite, deep, irrevocable decision in your soul. And I'm going through with God. You can make it. And every time the tests and trials and pressures of life are turned on you, you can look right back there to that time. And I settled it right there. I just went to the bottom right there. I cleaned out everything out of my life right there. And there's not anything coming back that I put out. I'm not taking anything back. Now he said, immediately it fell and the ruin of that house was great. This isn't an idle tale. This isn't something just in a figure. He's not talking about a building like this or a house like you live in. He's talking about your soul. He's talking about your Christian life or your non-Christian life, however you're living. And the ruin of it is great. You'll never know the full extent of that text of Scripture till the Lord comes in judgment and you stand before Him and are condemned before Him. You'll find out then how great the ruin of your house was. Amen.